God. We trust you as our King and our friend. We love you, Lord. We celebrate and honor you tonight, God. Hallelujah, Lord. We love to be in your presence with your people.
Welcome to this morning's service, led today by Kevin Savage. We welcome. Karen has sent an email to anybody who she's got the addresses for about the way church will operate following the relaxation of the COVID rules. It was decided at a church council last Tuesday. So obviously you can see by the set out, you can choose where you sit, either socially distanced or if you feel able to sit with others, there's this side of the church. We'll ask you to continue to wear a mask if you're able to do so. And we can sing, but please keep your masks on. We're still going to take names for track and trace, but there's no need to book a seat anymore. There's going to be no refreshments yet after the service, but people are encouraged to have conversations after the service outside the building. It's still a retiring collection. And if we could leave by these side doors. These are in line with national and local recommendations. They'll be looked at again in 4 weeks. A paper copy of this is available to anybody who hasn't picked up one this morning. We've received some very sad news about the death of David Hayes. And we hope you'll keep his wife Sandra and granddaughter Lucy in your thoughts and prayers in the coming days. I've got a mug, a commemorative mug, which I'll put on that table for you to have a look at. They're £7, the bone china, a specially commissioned piece. So I'll leave that over there. And next week, if you want to put your names down on a list if you would like one. It's got the church logo here and the dates, and on the back it says celebrating 200 years of the Methodist Church in Bamber Bridge. And lastly, we've been asked to publicise blood donor sessions at South Ribble Tennis Centre on the 5th, the 19th and the 27th of August. It sounds like it's quite an urgent issue for the blood donor service. Look, they're getting quite short. We'll have a few moments of prayer now before the service starts. Let us pray. Loving Father, we give thanks for those finding new ways of sharing the good news. New ways of reaching out and being church, locally and online. New ways of showing that church is not about four walls and a steeple, but people living, loving and expressing faith both in old ways and new, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Sorry, you now have to listen to me. Definitely out of practice. Sorry, one more little notice for your prayers. Carol handed me a note just before the service to say that Doug Whittle, one of our local preachers, sadly died at home last night. So your prayers for all who love and care for Doug would be greatly appreciated. A few words from the psalmist. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. And with that, I'll hand over to the worship group.
We stand and sing, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever conceived. Am I switched on? Trouble this morning.
One, two.
Ah, there we go. Right. No eye has seen how high and how wide, how deep and how long, how sweet and how strong is your love.
Oh!
Please be seated.
A good choice, thank you. Fits well with our scriptures later on. It was new to me.
Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come, bow before him now, in reverence and fear. God, our loving Heavenly Father, as we come before you now in this place with our church family, we acknowledge that you are an awesome, holy God. You are the one who created the heavens, the stars that stretch for infinity, the earth which takes our breath away with its beauty and majesty. You are all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing. We feel so small and insignificant in all this. Yet you have poured your Holy Spirit into our hearts. And because of this, we can begin to grasp the extent of your love for us. Your love, which reaches out and touches our lives in so many ways. We praise you and we worship your holy name. So as we continue in our worship this morning, help us through word, song, and prayer to draw closer to you, that we may know more and more of your wonderful love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Prayer of confession this morning. I'm using the text of one of the prayers from the Methodist worship book, and the responses are on the screen. It's just three short sections. So in the quietness of this morning hour, we remember before God those ways in which we have broken his laws in our thoughts, our words, our deeds. For our foolishness in our living and in our relationships, and our thoughtless use of the gifts of your creation, Lord, have mercy. For our neglect of you and of your holy word, and for our failure to call people to repentance, Christ, have mercy. For our selfishness in prayer, our carelessness in worship, and our lack of true reverence, Lord, have mercy. Amen. So may Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to listen now to two of the appointed scripture lessons for today.
First reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, a prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen. The second reading is John chapter 6, verses 1 to 21. Jesus feeds the thousand. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those to who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Jesus walked on the water. When the evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading.
Thank you, Desley. We're going to sing again. Very unusual, but we're going to sing. Let's praise the God of love who gave his only Son to be our Saviour. The King of love, my shepherd is.
For ever.
you can read it, that's just a couple of points that I'm going to make about this passage in Ephesians. It's just a few minutes. I'm not going to unpack everything about those verses, obviously, so that's just some pointers. Paul begins that chapter of Ephesians by referring to his list and explanation of the benefits, the joys, the blessings of knowing Jesus as our own personal Savior. And he declares, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." That is, he offers God thanksgiving. Indeed, the appropriate response from all of us to God's generosity should be our continual outpouring of gratitude. But in kneeling, Paul is also confidently entering into prayer for those Christians at Ephesus. And who better to pray to than God our Father? It is from him that all true fatherhood derives. And surely this God of ours, this Father of ours, will hear prayers of and for his children. So Paul prays with confidence. And he writes to them, "I pray that he may strengthen you with power." Now, anyone who lives the Christian life knows one thing with absolute certainty. In spite of the world's opinion, it is not the soft option. It isn't for the faint-hearted. It isn't for the weak. Now, I don't mean physically weak. Our physical state is nothing to do with following the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about moral and spiritual strength and power. And those are the essentials of our Christian living. And only God can supply those things in abundance to us, his children. And that's why Paul prays that God will strengthen the Ephesians with power. Now, for those who want to become weightlifters, I'm not suggesting that that's what you want to take up as a hobby, but should you wish to become a weightlifter, then power is, to some extent, something that you can develop. You can keep pushing. So the right training regime, the right diet, constant attention to technique, the right attitude, sheer determination, if you want to put it another way. But that's to do with physicality. And that's not, as I said, something that's at the center of the Christian life. God and God alone will provide the wherewithal to build us up in spiritual strength and power. But how does Paul envisage that happening for the Ephesians and for us? He prays that it may be out of God's glorious riches and through his Spirit. Just as we need physical resources if we are engaged in physical tasks, lest we run out of steam, as it were. So if we are about God's business, if we're doing God's will, we need the equivalent spiritual resources. And it's God's Holy Spirit who supplies everything that we need in order to be able to do what God requires of us. And so what Paul calls God's glorious riches, supplied through his Spirit, we can regard as a boundless reservoir from which we can draw continually without fear of it ever running out, without fear of drought. God's resources are endless, and they are at our disposal. To what end, though? What's the point of it? Paul says, it's so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, we know and accept that The Lord Jesus comes and lives within us when we accept him as our Saviour. But that's not quite what Paul is saying. He's talking about dwelling. He's talking about Christ being at home within the Christian. How much is Christ actually at home within our hearts and our lives? For Christ to dwell, truly dwell, be at home within us, we have to be living in God's way, according to God's law. And we can only do that, as Paul says, through the Holy Spirit. What we can't do of ourselves, God does for us. Paul moves on. I pray that you may grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Do we understand how much God loves us? There are times when we do need help to begin getting our heads around that whole idea. Sometimes we need a new perspective, a different perspective, in order to see and appreciate that situation for what it really is. Those of you who are photographers will probably find it very handy to have the use of a wide-angle lens sometimes. Sometimes a building or a landscape that we want to photograph, we can't do justice to with the normal lens. We need to be able to stay in that shot and yet still be able to get the view that we need so that others can see and understand how big, how wide, how deep, how wonderful it is. Wide-angle lens allows us to stay close and yet see what we need to see. Fortunately for us Christians, the immense love of God was not only incarnated for us in Christ, it was further shown to us in the cross of Calvary. Through the lens of Christ, we see God's immeasurable love. When we come to Christ upon the cross, we see infinite love fully encapsulated. How marvelous is that? The infinite, eternal love of God shown to us in one person and one gesture. By the power of God, as Paul says, we grasp the infinite. We know the unfathomable. What a wonder that is. Paul says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp the love of Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the love of God could take hold of God's people in that way? How much it would transform, how much it would renew, how much it would empower. The knowledge, though, of which Paul writes isn't so much intellectual as experiential. It's something that happens to us. God's love isn't just something to think about. It's something to experience. Martin Luther, that great leader of the Reformation, lived his earlier life in constant fear of God. Now we know, as Christians, reverential fear is good. Christ himself teaches us that. But Luther lived in abject terror. And in terror, you can't have a relationship. And yet he was a very clever man. He'd studied the Bible. He'd studied theology. He knew intellectually the right answers. He knew in his head that Christ died to save him from his sins. He knew in his head that God was his Father. But his picture of God was colored by his relationship with his own father, who was a hard and cruel man. But when the love of Christ upon the cross the death of the only Son of God took hold of Luther, warming his heart, overcoming his terror. He was utterly transformed and liberated. It wasn't just a word. Love was no longer just a word in his head. It was the experience of his life. The experience of God's love, the experience of what Christ did for us upon the cross, is greater than we could ever imagine. So in all of that, what's the point of Paul's prayer? It's simply that God himself may be glorified. God pours out his riches because he loves us and delights to bless those who are faithful to him. For we exist as individual Christians and as the church of Jesus Christ to bring glory to God through the living of holy and righteous lives, lives that will attract other people. And when others see the power and the love of God working in us and through us, then he will be glorified as other people come to faith in him and find their lives transformed by the experience of God's love and power in them. The Lord bless you as you seek to live out that Christian life. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Kath for some prayers now.
Our prayers of thanksgiving and of intercession. We've thought about David Hayes, was it, and Doug Whittle. Is there anybody else that needs our prayers, particularly at this time? Okay, Chris's son-in-law's sister. What's her name? Paula. Think about Paula. Jenny Tillotson, who's the... Yeah. Jenny's the lead steward at Gregson Lane at Trinity, and her dad died, and the funeral's on Tuesday. So we hold those people in our hearts and in our prayers. Loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts. We've been hearing a little more about your great love for us, how we can grasp the width, the height, the depth of your wonderful love. And we know that that love for us translates into all sorts of things. Translates into your care and your compassion, your strength. And we pray that we might be able to grasp that love within our hearts. So we are thankful for everything that you do for us, acknowledging that every good gift comes from you. And as we've held in our hearts and our minds those people who need your prayers, this world I live in, this town I live in, this street I live in, this house I live in, may each be the focus of my prayer. Those I live with, those I rub shoulders with, those I work with, those I don't get on with, may each be the focus of my prayer. Those who laugh, those who cry, those who hurt, those who hide, may each be the focus of my prayer. prayers centered less on self and more on others. Less on my circumstances and more on the needs of others. May my life be likewise centered less on self and more on you, and through you to the world in which I live and move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And now we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
God calls his people to live in his way, as the church has taught us down through the centuries. And by his power and in his love, we do so. Our closing hymn is, if you like, a prayer of thanksgiving and a prayer of intercession for the church. God is our power and our strength.
Your hand, O God, has guided your flock from age to age. Let's stand and sing. Your hand, O God, has guided your flock from age to age. Your wondrous tale is written full clear.
Service today. A prayer of blessing. God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and hope and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you now and remain with you always. Amen. Let us bless one another in the name of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be
healing soul.